Welcome to the King Edward's Whitley Easter Podcasts, a series of talks from teachers here keeping the community connected, maybe even making us think, or smile, or both. If you are listening to this on its day of release, then you are listening to this on Good Friday. Our speaker today has a question for you and then provides you with the answer. Introducing our very own Elizabeth Housemistress, Miss Condy.
On this Good Friday, I want to pose the question to you. Why is Good Friday good? Does it not seem a little sadistic and ironic that Christians celebrate the death of Jesus Christ? In England, it is even a bank holiday. In London, for the past number of years, over 22,000 people have gathered on this day to watch the Wintershall production in Trafalgar Square, where a reenactment of this humiliating way to die is shown on a public stage. In Ireland, it was law for over 90 years that the pubs were to be closed on this day. Now that is serious. Let me read you part of Mark's account so you understand my question. This is Mark chapter 15. And as soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. And they bound Jesus and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered him, "You have said so." And the chief priests accused him of many things. And Pilate again asked him, "Have you no answer to make? See how many charges they bring against you." But Jesus made no further answer, so that Pilate was amazed. Now at the feast, he used to release for them one prisoner for whom they asked. And among the rebels in prison who had committed murder in the insurrection, there was a man called Barabbas. And the crowd came up and began to ask Pilate to do so as he usually did for them. And he answered them, saying, "Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" For he perceived that it was out of envy that the chief priests had delivered him up. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release for them Barabbas instead. And Pilate again said to them, "Then what shall I do with the man you call the king of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him." And Pilate said to them, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him." So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released them, Barabbas. And having scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away inside the palace, that is, the governor's headquarters. And they called together the whole battalion. And they clothed him in a purple cloak, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on him. And they began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they were striking his head with a reed and spitting on him and kneeling down in homage. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put on his own clothes. And they led him out to crucify him. And they compelled a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. And they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his garments among them, casting lots for them to decide what each should take. And it was the third hour when they crucified him. And the inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads, saying, "Aha, you who destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes mocked him to one another, saying, "He saved others, but he can't save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him reviled him. And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders hearing it said, "Behold, he is calling Elijah." And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a reed and give it to him to drink. "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." This passage tells us that Jesus was innocent of all the crimes he was accused of. In Luke's account, Pilate clearly says that, "I find no guilt in him." And yet he was killed in the cruelest way known to man. He was stripped, beaten, and crucified. So why then do Christians see this inhumane treatment as being good? It's interesting to see the reactions of the different people involved in the story. First, we see a hardened soldier who, as far as he was concerned, was just putting one more criminal on the cross. He was more concerned to roll the dice to see if he would get Jesus's robes, a nice little bonus to his pay. Then we see the religious leaders who spent the time mocking Jesus and twisting what he had previously said to degrade him further. They taunted him, "You can save others, but not yourself." Then there was the bystanders and the passers-by who mocked and taunted Jesus in his suffering, asking why the miracle worker wasn't doing a miracle now and coming down from the cross. Finally, there was a Roman centurion, a high-ranking officer who was so struck by what was happening and how Jesus died that he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." It is this reaction that answers our question, what is so good about Good Friday? The thing is that this event is just one part of the story. Christians, like the Jews before them, believe in something called atonement. It's a pretty big word that simply means that because of this event, men and women who have been separated from God by sin and evil can be brought back into relationship with him. Men meant this event for evil. Judas betrayed his friend. Peter denied knowing the one who had been his companion for years. Pilate went against his conscience because he didn't want to have to deal with a riot. A convicted murderer was released, and all that before we get to the torture and death of an innocent man who spent his time feeding the hungry and healing the sick. Yet, God meant it for good. Christians on this day all over the world gather to respectfully recognise the sacrifice of Jesus to save people from sin and evil. They believe that Jesus is God who became a human man to make the way open for people to come back to God. People had twisted God's good laws so that it was impossible for them to be in a relationship with him. So he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to live out God's laws perfectly and to die in the place of sinners so that they could be in relationship with him. He epitomized strength and compassion, humility and authority, common sense and true faith, as well as open the doors for forgiveness. Christians call this day Good Friday because although the events were horrific, they showed the ultimate good, true love, the God who sacrificed himself for humans. And we know this true love triumphed because on Easter Sunday, Jesus rose from the dead.
Thank you, Miss Condy, as enlightening as ever. Right, that's it from us, folks, but do please check your emails over the weekend. We have a special bonus podcast due to be released tomorrow. For now, stay home, keep safe. Speak to you soon.